Hello and welcome to Coach and the Doctor. Not a real coach and not a real doctor. And the doctor hasn't even shown up today. Hello,
Especially
Amy.
Especially not a real doctor today.
So why do we have you in here today? Can you tell me why?
Well, I think because you're in great luck, to be honest.
I wasn't going to mention this until the end. We've done a couple of great chats, and Amy was filling in for Doctor at the time. And I thought to myself, why would we want to get the doctor in here to have a bit of a chat? Why don't we get Amy in here to have a chat? Not necessarily about the interviews, but about your time here at J-Man, Amy, and also what's happened to you over the last week or so. It's something within the NDIS system, within the J-Man system, because something is always happening.
That is the truest thing about the space here. There's always something going on. And you and I have been spending a lot of time together lately working on various projects. although it will not mean you get my name right. We've been having quite the battle with you calling me by a different name.
I think, and I said this to you before, I think that could be an age thing. I'm not sure. Because I've been calling you Abby, and the only person I can think of that was an Abby was a girlfriend I had many years ago back in the, maybe the 80s, I think, yeah.
And it's funny because I've known you for quite some time, and it's only when we've been spending probably every single day at work together that it's now popping up recently. So someone out there can
work that out for us. I can tell you some psychologists will be working overtime listening to this going, oh, maybe there's some suppressed feelings or something like that towards the other girl. I don't know.
Oh, and boy. We should get the original Abby in.
I'm projecting them onto you. I don't know. But as I did say to you, she was a wonderful person. And so are you.
I'll take, as long as you weren't like, yeah, she was the worst person I've ever met and you remind me of her.
We had a great day yesterday. Tell us your thoughts and how much fun you had.
Oh, my gosh. We were out shooting our television show, which won't be out at time of record, but keep your eyes peeled for when that debuts. But we were on location down at Barwon Heads.
In Victoria.
And do we want to say too much about what we were shooting?
Oh, we can talk not so much what we're shooting, but the people involved in the shooting.
And really, where we were doesn't matter because it's all about the people.
Yeah.
And gosh, they were good yesterday.
And because basically in the TV show, we're using our participants. They are happy to tell their story. And what we're doing is we're basically showing the life of the participants through the eyes of the participants with a disability, be that intellectual disability, physical or a mental disability. And some of the things that come up, I've got to be honest, and I'm going to give a little bit of away because I usually interview the participants just to get an idea of their life. What they normally do, they're just basically journalists and TV journalists. They go and interview people and do what everyone else would normally do. But at the end of it, I do an interview. And the one I was conducting yesterday, and I knew this guy pretty well. He's a wonderful man. And he had his girlfriend with him too, which I think was of some comfort. And I did this chat and I turned around at the end of it to look at you, to sort of go, is it just me or was that really emotional? And I really didn't have to ask the question, Amy, because you were bawling your eyes out.
Weeping like a baby. It was so beautiful and moving and touching. I won't give too much away by saying he was talking about love and being in love. And it was just magic to hear someone express that and talk about that in such an honest way. It is the most magical gift, I think, being in love. So,
and the other thing he was talking about was some of his struggles as well.
Yeah.
That he's had over the years and how things have improved since he's met this person. And he's a different person and he's coming out of himself. So it was, and they're both participants with our organisation. They're both wonderful people. So hopefully you remember this if you're listening and you remember and go, I wonder which episode that's going to be in. Well, I'm not going to tell you because I'd like to tease.
But to hear where he was and then see him on the day where he is now, to see that growth in someone is just, you know, you can't beat it. It is just magic.
Now, you have some lived experience with disability. We won't go into what, who, or where.
Yeah, that's a whole podcast in itself.
Don't be putting me in the intro. I'm going to interview about that, have a chat with you about that. But what's been your time here at J-Man? Has there been a moment or has there been many moments where you sort of said to yourself, wow, this is not what I expected it to be?
Many moments. We have the privilege of having the most incredible conversations on a weekly, double weekly, that's not a term, but we'll go with it, a regular basis.
It's their podcast, do what we like.
With people that I probably wouldn't meet in just my normal day-to-day life. It really opens up your world to people that are outside of your little immediate circle. And they're the most incredible conversations that every single time I feel educated, moved, inspired, in awe of what people are doing out there. And I think the one thing that it keeps coming back to is we're so much more similar than we are different.
No matter
what, like, your individual experience is, we're all humans and there is so much commonality. And I think it's great when you look for that rather than looking for difference first.
And I said something yesterday to one of the people that we interviewed, and I don't think I'd said this to anyone. I don't see her in a wheelchair. I see the person, then I see the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the wheelchair, then the person, because you can't help but notice the wheelchair, right?
Yeah.
And she's been in a wheelchair since 2 years old because of a car accident. So in the end, I see the person. It's almost like it's a crossover, because you don't always do that. I didn't before I got in this industry. I've got to be honest. I didn't discriminate against disability, but I sort of would look at it and go, oh, there's somebody in a wheelchair. But I wouldn't necessarily look at the person. I might look at the wheelchair, then the person.
Yeah.
But it's the other way around for me now. Once I verbalised that, it's the first time I've actually ever said that to anyone.
Yeah.
Like if I see somebody with cerebral palsy.
Sure, it's a part of their life, but it's not everything about them.
And I'm intrigued to find out about their life.
Yeah.
I'm grateful, I suppose, is the word. Lucky is another word. Especially at my age, because I've got a milestone birthday coming up. It's probably by the time this goes to air, it'll be well and truly over. Hopefully I'm not. But you never think as you get older that, you know, this sort of stuff is going to happen to you. I've got to be honest, it's changed my life. Yeah, definitely changed my life.
Speaking of, we have some conversations coming up that were, again, life-changing.
Yes, I've got Special Olympics, Amy, which is such a great organisation, Anna Mezger, who's the national director, and also Peter Zavantis, who does a lot of work within the Greek community, within the disability community, and is also a Special Olympian. But first up, after the break, we'll have a chat to Anna. You're listening to Coach and the Doctor, thanks to JulieCare Support Coordinators, where it takes a village.
JulieCare is a team of trusted, caring and professional support coordinators. Founded on the principle that it takes a village, we want to lock arms and build a long-standing relationship, one in which we are able to deliver quality support coordination. We offer additional services such as specialist support coordination and psychosocial recovery coaching. GILDA, JulieCare Support Coordination. We make the NDIS process stress-free. Google JulieCare.
Ever thought of changing your lifestyle or maybe even your career? But you're a bit nervous about taking the plunge into the unknown. Well, now is the time to get your feet wet. J-Man is an NDIS registered support provider that is now hiring. As the world is adapting to change, it's your time now to not only make a difference, but to also earn the sort of living you deserve. Call 1-800-JAE-MAN or visit our website, jman.com.au.
When your message is timely, trustworthy and delivered in a positive environment, it's powerful. That's why sponsors of 89.9 The Light see great results. Visit thelight.com.au.
This is Coach and the Doctor, brought to you by JulieCare, who take all the stress out of support coordination. I'm Coach. With me is not the doctor.
It's not the real doctor at all.
Not the real doctor. He's a little bit ill.
Yes.
So I've got
Hopefully
Amy.
He's treating himself.
I didn't even think of that.
Yes, I'm very funny.
You are in a funny sort of medical way, clinical and boring.
Thank you so much. That's very kind of you.
No. Amy said that earlier off mic and I just had to chuck it back at her. We've got a very special person from Special Olympics.
Yeah, I'm looking. It's a very long title, isn't it? There's a lot of words here.
So,
as a description written down.
You're like work experience, really. Normally you're a producer, so yes. Now you're behind the mic. And this is how some of the great stories and stars start. They get behind the camera, then they get in front of the camera, in front of the mic.
Drawn back to the bright lights.
Right. Would you stop talking about yourself and introduce our next guest?
I would love to. Again, we've got an absolute superstar in the studio today. Normally, I don't get to say that. I just think it as I watch the other two say it. So how exciting. But Special Olympics Australia board member and the co-head of delegation for Team Victoria for the Special Olympics National Games in 2022. I hope I've gotten all that right. Anna Mezger.
Absolutely 100%. That is my job at the moment.
Welcome.
Beautiful. That is a big title and a big job.
Let's see if we can get... There we go.
You can't hear it, Anna,
but I've given you some applause.
Well done. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here today.
My pleasure.
So tell me what I just said. What did all of that mean?
Well, a long-term title is a board member of Special Olympics Australia. I joined the board 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I will stay on the board probably for another 3 to 4 years. Mm-hmm. And that's the board of Special Olympics Australia, so the national body. And this year I am hands-on and the head of delegation for Team Victoria heading off to the National Games in Launceston in October.
You got it wrong.
I got it wrong.
We've been practicing. It's Launceston.
Launceston.
And that's the problem. And then you get in your head and you're like, Launceston, Launceston. Yeah. Which one was it?
That's all right. For all our Tasmanian people, I'm just getting it right.
It should have been in the interview for the job.
Yes.
How to pronounce it. We're taking a team of 209 athletes and 65 volunteers to represent Victoria at the National Games in October. So all other states will be there. We're, I think, the biggest delegation.
Great.
We're neck and neck with Queensland and going to be competing in 9 different sports over 7 days, which will be just so exciting.
And how do you get to this point? I'm just reading in my cheat notes that Amy provides me. Founder of your own consultancy business, 30 years experience in human resources, leadership development and project management. How does that lead into what you're doing now?
The leadership and project management certainly helps with what I'm doing now, but it didn't get me there.
No.
I came on this journey, I suppose, because I have had involvement with people with disability all my life. My sister, who's 4 years younger than I am, was born with an intellectual disability. We didn't know what that meant at the time. So I've been a sibling of someone with an intellectual disability. And then our son, who turned 23 last week, also has an intellectual disability. His youngest son, we've got 2 boys.
And when was that diagnosed? Your son, obviously earlier than your sister.
Earlier than my sister. And having an older child helps so much because you realise that your child is not... Your second child is not meeting those milestones that we look for.
Right.
And Harry, you know, wasn't rolling. He was very floppy as quite a small baby. And we realised that he wasn't meeting the milestones that his brother did and realised pretty early on that something wasn't right.
And how were you with all of that, you and your husband?
It was such a difficult time for us. Our boys are only 22 months apart, so we had a toddler. We, having grown up with a sister with intellectual disability, I'd had genetic testing and was told that I had as much chance as anyone else of having a child with any sort of disability. So it was, it was unknowns because we went for probably 2.5 years until we got a diagnosis. Harry has global delay. He was very floppy, so think of cerebral palsy and go the other way. He had excess laxity. We didn't know if he would walk or eat or do anything on his own. So in those early days, it's really, really tough because you're just seeking answers all the time, in and out of medical appointments, and doing your best to raise your family and try and work and and all of those things. So it's a really tough time for people to be thrown into with no notice.
Obviously, that has opened up some doors for you as far as Special Olympics go, but back when that all happened, I suppose that Special Olympics was the last thing on your mind.
Special Olympics didn't come onto my radar for some years. Mm. What did come onto our radar very early on was the idea of early intervention, and that was certainly something that wasn't around when my sister was as a child growing up. So we were in early intervention programs with OT, physio, play groups, music, all the rest of it, and that had such an impact on Harry and his development that, you know, he did walk eventually at 2.5, He did get some speech and, you know, things started going right for him. And very early on, we could see that movement and activity and sport was just going to be very important for him. So I suppose that's how, you know, we moved into this idea of movement and growth and health and fitness is going to be such an important thing for him, as it is for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the, sorry, Amy, you can ask the next question. It's just because I talk to a lot of people with either physical disability or intellectual disability, and especially the older ones, they all say the same thing. They were told they couldn't do this, or their parents were told, you just can't do this, it's not going to happen. And so many of them have ended up either as Paralympians or Special Olympians, and I'm sure you've seen that's been the case with a lot of the participants.
Absolutely. You know. I mean, we honestly didn't think Harry would walk. We went and looked at schools and ramps and things like that. Well, the day that he ran a half marathon in Portugal a couple of years ago, and I arrived in the town to see him run past was, well, you can imagine the tears.
I'm just thinking now, I'm wondering, they're welling in your eyes now, and I'm starting to get them. That must have been such a special moment in your life.
Yeah, he's given us a number of moments because he is the most determined, resilient individual and just works so hard at his sport every single day.
And is he a Special Olympian himself? Was that when he was in Portugal running?
So Harry, sport is everything in his life. He's represented Australia in running, in long distance running, also cycling and athletics. And he's done that at an elite level, so with Virtus in that para category, and he also competes with Special Olympics. So Special Olympics, yes, he's in the national games for the first time in athletics, which he's really excited about.
I reckon I'd be happy just getting the tracksuit.
That's really exciting. The uniform is everything.
Yeah,
Coach, the uniform. You know that the uniform is everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And it'd be that sense of community too, to look out at a sea of people all sharing that collective colour or tracksuit would be a real sight. It would make my heart just absolutely explode.
Go Team Vic.
Yeah.
Team Vic.
So,
we're very, very proud of the navy and white.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the green and gold comes, even better. That's a uniform.
So you mentioned that word community. I'm sure that's part of all of this, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and I think that's such a big part of Special Olympics. We have grassroots clubs right around Australia, and the clubs where all of our sport happens. So there's 9 different sports at the National Games, but we actually practice 18 sports across Australia. And those community groups at grassroots are what it's all about, not just for the athletes, but about for the families and also now the support workers. So support workers come along and get involved because they're bringing along the athlete that they're driving there that day, and they get involved in timekeeping and form part of the community. And then with the pathway we have to be selected then to represent Team Victoria, we've got another community of 209 athletes going along. We have an athlete leader program, another social community. So it's more than sport.
We were talking earlier off air about J-Man Active. It's exactly what we're trying to do and promote. As I said, physical activity, but the whole bunch of other different activities as well, whatever people want to do. Mm. But it's also about that communal feel. I noticed with some of our participants, no, I don't want to do it. I just want to sit at home. Mm. Come along, you can sit there. You don't have to do anything. And within, I don't know, maybe the first time, maybe the second time, they're up throwing baskets. I've seen people who have walking frames, participants with walking frames, who would never in a million years pick up a basketball, throw basketball and hitting the net, you know, and shooting all net.
Special Olympics is quite unique in that it's a lifelong membership. So we have the junior athletes. Our eldest athlete is 78, Coach, because when you don't want to swim anymore, you can move to another sport like bowling or bocce.
Mm.
So our athletes have a very long association with Special Olympics, and my sister has recently just joined. One of the hardest things that I've observed is that at 53, Sue Ellen lives with my parents who are in their 80s, and has quite a full life, but she's terribly lonely. She hasn't had a lot of friends in her life, and that's so isolating. She has been fortunate enough to always have been a horse rider. So we grew up riding horses, and Sue Ellen still rides. I don't. She's amazing. She gets out on this enormous horse every day. And she's recently joined Special Olympics in the equestrian area. She's volunteered for Riding for Disabled for years, but now that she can actually participate and compete and hang out with other people who have other, you know, horsey people who talk about horsey things all day, is just really important. And if we can give that sense of community and belonging and somebody to call or, you know, share a WhatsApp about your horse and what it's doing, is really important. It's about the social connection much more than the sport.
I want to talk to you some more about that and the NDIS and whether your son or your sister are part of the NDIS, but we'll take a quick break.
Yep.
That's okay. Grab a glass of water. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Coach and the Doctor. Thanks to Gildacare support coordinators, where, of course, it takes a village.
Gildacare is a team of trusted, caring and professional support coordinators. Founded on the principle that it takes a village, we want to lock arms and build a long-standing relationship, one in which we are able to deliver quality support coordination. We offer additional services such as specialist support coordination and psychosocial recovery coaching. GILDA, Gildacare Support Coordination. We make the NDIS process stress-free. Google Gildacare.
This is Coach and the Doctor, brought to you by Gildacare, who take all the stress out of support coordination. With us is Anna Mesker, who is the Special Olympics Australia board member, and a whole bunch of other things as well. I'm going to let her talk about that. That's a mouthful. With me is not the doctor, of course. I've got the sidekick.
Infamous sidekick, yes.
Amy Ruffle is with us. Anna, earlier before the break, you were talking about your sister and also your son, both who have intellectual disabilities. Are they involved with the NDIS? Are they on the NDIS?
Yeah, both Harry and Sue Ellen are on the NDIS. We share the load. My husband largely looks after Harry's NDIS plan with Harry. Harry's getting more and more involved in that over the years, which is absolutely fantastic. And then I manage my sister's plan and was involved in getting her set up with a plan.
And how did you find that experience? Was it simple, streamlined, would you say, or
lengthy? It took a long time to do.
Yeah.
It was good that we'd been through the journey with Harry.
Yeah.
To do that. My parents, who I said earlier are elderly, were quite fearful,
mm-hmm,
that they would maybe take away her pension or, you know, be following and checking on everything we do. And just, I suppose, that notion of all not really understanding what it was.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have been able to do it without assistance. What it has done is created some good opportunities to talk about the future. They were terrified about the future because they will leave Sue Ellen, who does need care. But with the NDIS process, we've been able to have some extremely practical conversations about what the future will mean. And she is in such a much better place than she would have otherwise been. And we all feel quite calm about that now. And her life has changed dramatically due to this. She's really developing a lot of skills. She's very anxious about my parents' passing, which will happen, but she can be supported through that. So, you know, I'm very, very grateful for having that vehicle to plan.
Which I think that's something that people don't often consider too, is obviously it's making such a difference in your sister's life, but how the ripple effect moves on to the family and the carers around that person, because it helps their life too. And has it had an impact on Harry's life too, changed that?
Absolutely. I mean, Harry has been very well supported by NDIS to achieve his goals, which are around sport, and he's working towards becoming an independent person. He got his driver's license the other day, which wouldn't have happened without some assistance with NDIS and an OT working with him to achieve that over at least a 4 to 5 year period, but we got there, he got there, and it certainly allowed and allowing him to achieve his goals to represent Australia, to be an elite sports person, and also to qualify as an allied health assistant, which is where he wants to take his career.
So what about on a personal level? You must think about the tough times with your son and also your sister, and of course with your parents, vicariously your parents are living it as well. Have you ever had time to sit back and sort of think about those times, about when it was tough and now it's getting better and it's almost too good to be true?
It is too good to be true at times, but, well, I'm heading off on holidays with my husband shortly. The amount of work that we need to do to prepare Harry for that and to be supported to do that is not what people would do for an average 23-year-old. So it's always there, but it's how we are supported to do that. My parents have never been overseas without my sister. So to have those opportunities, I'm very grateful for. And yes, there have been very tough times, particularly with my sister and what her future would be like. And, you know, my parents have not had a normal retirement. My father's had a lot of illness. They have given so much. They wouldn't regret that for a moment. But their lives have most definitely been shaped by, you know, their family situation, as anyone is. So, yeah, it's a brighter future because we can see that Sue Ellen will live a very full life to her capacity with her horses and her chickens and her dog, you know, living the way that she wants to be. And she, you know, is largely protected from a lot of the things in the world that she couldn't cope with.
So thinking of your experience, is there anything that if there's families going through a similar thing that maybe with a younger child and they're just starting to try and figure out how to best manage the situation and give their child the best chance to grow and have a hopefully independent life, what would you want to tell them? Is there anything that you wish you'd known or something that you've learnt along the way?
I think your network is really important.
Yeah.
My parents didn't have that with my sister. They didn't know anyone who had a child with a disability. So their friendship group was quite different to our friendship group because we started with Harry with early intervention and then he went to Rossbourne, which is a school for people with disabilities. We got a friendship group there and then through sport with Special Olympics. So we learn from families who have got older kids. What did they do? You know, when it was time for their kid to move out, how did they navigate it? So I really think that network and asking questions and meeting people and talking to people is really important. We've always been quite open with Harry's permission about disability. He now speaks very comfortably about his disability, and I think that really empowers him. I do meet people through Special Olympics, through, athletes with intellectual disability who are still going through that journey of acceptance and questioning and where do I fit in? And when that change does happen, and I hope it happens for most, that you can see people a lot more peaceful and mindful about where they fit in, and that's great to see.
I think that's one of the most common themes that comes up in these discussions that we are privileged enough to have is the theme of acceptance. And with that becomes that freedom and that peace because you're able to just be you.
Yeah, being support providers and having been part of it for quite a while now, it seems like forever, every single participant, they all go through a different journey.
Yes.
Obviously, sometimes people are born with disability. Sometimes it happens to them as they get older. And sometimes they've had it all their lives and they're not diagnosed till they're a lot older, and it almost comes as a slight relief that they actually know that this is the condition I've got and this is what I've been wondering for so long, why I am the way I am. But once they find out, and I don't think I'm speaking out of tune here, it's like somebody coming from, I don't know, another country. They're Iranian. That's who they are. That's how they've been brought up. That's who they are. And it's exactly the same with somebody with a disability. That's who they are. And they feel okay with that. Every single one I've met eventually gets to that point. I don't know. Would you agree with it?
I would. I think we're living in a time where it's more and more accepted every day. And where you're working very hard at that, so away at Special Olympics to have that narrative about acceptance. And I'd extend acceptance to the families as well. As parents, we needed to accept what our
tough
time was going to be like. Well, reality. And wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, we've got the most beautiful boys and we're proud of them every single day. So, but it can be a journey to come to that acceptance about what the future holds and what today is like.
And you're right, that's what we're trying to do here, and I've used this quote before, or I've used this term before, and I hate to say it, but this is pretty the best way to say it, is we're trying to normalise it. Okay.
Well, disability isn't the problem. It's people's attitude and perception towards it.
Yeah. And
that's the problem.
Exactly. And we've also got to be careful we're not too hard on them as well, because if you're not around somebody with a disability or you don't have a disability, it can be difficult at times for people to immediately accept. That's why we've got to do this. Yes. That's why we've got to talk more about it.
And well, you fear what you don't know, and the more you know, the less there is to be scared of or unsure of, because I think a lot of people are, you know, scared to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, so they do nothing.
They do nothing, or there's that tone of sympathy in the voice.
Yes.
And how's Harry?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
it's,
Harry's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know?
You're right, and I mentioned this before on another podcast with Senator Jordan Steele. John, he lives with cerebral palsy. And he's a wonderful man. He's only like 27, been a senator for 5 years. And he talks in this podcast I do called the J-Pod about his life. And he said he'll be in his wheelchair going somewhere and there'll be a priest preaching to somebody on a corner somewhere. And he said, and he comes straight over to me. The first thing he does is come straight over to me and say, and when the Lord Jesus gives you back your walking legs or something. And he says this in this interview, and I'm not making fun of him or anything. This is what he says. I don't want him to give me back my legs. I've never had legs. I've never known what it's like to walk, so why would I want to walk? Mm-hmm. That's getting inside his head, and I thought, wow, how powerful is that?
Yeah.
And that must be inside the heads of so many people with disability, and unfortunately some of them can't articulate as well as he does.
And at Special Olympics, with people, you know, our athletes are people with intellectual disability. Many, it's very hard to articulate for them, but they have amazing ways to communicate. And also for many, it's an invisible disability. So that can be very challenging for a number of them, because expectations are made and then suddenly they can't be met in the way that society expects them to.
Well, it's a prime example is Love on the Spectrum, when people have come out and said, well, she doesn't or he doesn't look like somebody with autism, so what does...
Yes, what does it even look like?
What's it even
for
look
goodness
like?
Sake.
You know, and yes, we can be critical of them saying that, but at least I suppose they're going to learn when they get the response is that, well, there's no particular way a person looks if they've got autism.
That's right.
You know, there's no particular way. Mm.
So back to Special Olympics. Yes. You segued so wonderfully back, so thank you for doing our job for us. So obviously it's an event every 4 years, but what's happening in the meantime? Like, how do people get involved? Who's eligible? And then what are they leading up to that every four-year cycle?
I think the first thing we need to do is to help people understand what the difference between Paralympics is and Special Olympics.
Yep.
When the Olympics are on, our website goes crazy because everybody's looking for how they can get involved in the Paralympics. We are not the Paralympics. Mm. Paralympics is for people mainly with physical disabilities at elite level. In Tokyo, Australia sent 179 Paralympians. Only 12 of them had an intellectual disability. So it is quite underrepresented in the Paralympic space. There are other world championships for people with intellectual disability, and there is a real push in that movement. Special Olympics is for anyone with an intellectual disability who would like to play sport any week of the year. So it accepts anyone. So when I hear people that say, oh, my child could never join Special Olympics, they're not good enough, that's so not true. Sports practiced and played at grassroots level, clubs around the country moving towards a pathway with state games and national games once every 4 years. And at the national games, to get there, you need to have done a qualifying event. But the way the divisioning works is you are competing against people who are at the same level as you. So it's quite a complex divisioning that I won't go into today because I'm not a technical delegate. But it means that we can have a meaningful competition amongst athletes of a similar level across those nine sports and create a really fantastic competition. From that, at National Games, which is in Tasmania this year, then a selection occurs and there's the World Games in Berlin next year in 2023, and a delegation from Australia will go to that. It's not the best of the best that goes. Again, people are selected based on ability and their performance, their ability to travel with the team and so on, and go to Berlin. And then the most exciting news is we have just put a bid in to host the World Games in Perth in 2027.
Huge.
What are your chances?
Pretty good.
Pretty good?
Pretty to very, very good. It has never been held this side of the world. And we're having site visits down here planned, and it will be announced if we're successful in November.
So, fantastic.
So okay. Could be a busy big hopes, few years.
Big hopes to have it. And in the year that it's held, it's the largest sporting event of its kind. Over 8,000 athletes from all around the world. It's such a force for inclusion and change that as an Australian, I would be very proud to be hosting it and showcasing Australia and how we can be inclusive right around the world.
Anna, before we go, a bit of a left field question. What's the biggest decision you've made in the last 12 months?
Oh, in the last 12 months?
In the last 12 months.
Oh, I make decisions a lot. Oh. What's the biggest one I've made?
That's had the most impact on you, or your life, or your son's life, your sister's, your husband's. Your work?
In the last 12 months, we probably moved back to Melbourne. And we had COVID. We moved down to the peninsula, which was very close to my family that live down that way, and to be close to them during the time that we were locked down. And we really enjoyed life down there, but we're not quite ready. And so probably moving back to the city and spending time down there on weekends has been a big decision.
Yeah. It's a great part of the world, the peninsula in Melbourne, in Victoria.
Yeah, if you can have a little bit of both, a city and a weekend escape,
yeah,
that's not a bad
nice
way to go.
Live there.
Yeah.
Not quite ready.
Anna, thanks so much for your time. Really enjoyed it, the chat. You're fantastic, wasn't she,
thank
Amy?
You.
Oh, a dream guest.
Thank you so much for your time, Anna Mesger, and we will definitely love to have a chat with you in the near future.
Okay? I'd love to. Thank you. Good thanks on. For having me.
Thanks for joining us on Coach and the Doctor. If you're in need of specialist support coordination, Gilda Care is a place to go. Proud sponsors of Coach and the Doctor.
Gilda Care is a team of trusted, caring and professional support coordinators. Founded on the principle that it takes a village, we want to lock arms and build a long-standing relationship, one in which we are able to deliver quality support coordination. We offer additional services such as specialist support coordination and psychosocial recovery coaching. GILDA, Gilda Care Support Coordination. We make the NDIS process stress-free. Google Gilda Care.
Every so often, a job comes along that jumps out at you, and for whatever reason, you're drawn to it. J-Man Supports can offer you that job. J-Man is an NDIS registered support provider that inspires people to live the life they choose. As a support worker, your life will not only change, but also open up so many possibilities. And you will not only earn a living, but also have a ball doing it. Call 1-800-JAEMAN or visit our website, jman.com.au.
When your message is timely, trustworthy and delivered in a positive environment, it's powerful. That's why sponsors of 89.9 The Light see great results. We're the positive alternative where listeners find a safe, friendly, encouraging experience. Our listeners trust us to bring them brands they can count on. Station sponsors that, in turn, they can trust. So visit the sponsorship page at thelight.com.au and get in touch. 89.9 The Light. Positive radio, positive results.
This is Coach and the Doctor, thanks to support coordinators Jill DeCare, who specialise in, amongst many things, psychosocial recovery coaching. And as mentioned earlier, Amy is with us. The doctor is sick. Amy, do I call you nurse? Would you be upset if I called you nurse?
Well, I think I want to be sidekick, not a real sidekick. I think that's a fun one.
That's good.
Yeah. Coach and the sidekick.
Sidekick, not a real sidekick, or Amy, not a real Amy. No, that doesn't quite work. You are a real Amy, though, aren't you?
I hope so. Otherwise, things are going pretty bad.
Okay. Well, Amy's going to do her best. And look, Amy's no novice, so I'm sure we're going to have a wonderful experience and she's going to be fantastic.
We're going to have a great time. And I feel so excited. I ran my first ever athletic race on the weekend, so I feel very comfortable being in the presence of the athlete we have coming up now that I'm somewhat claiming to be an athlete.
Wonderful. So, Amy, seeing you're so knowledgeable about our next guest, why don't you do the big introduction?
The big intro. I would love to. I'm so excited to speak to who we've got coming up. Special Olympic athlete, Peter Zapantis. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Amy.
So, Peter, I'm going to ask you a question. A lot of people are probably wondering exactly what Special Olympics is. Could you define that for us? Now, I know what it is. I'm not sure if not a real sidekick knows what it is or not, but can you just explain that? Because it's something that I think slips under the carpet a little bit and not a lot of people know about it. And this is one of the reasons, Peter, why we want to have a chat to you about it and to let us know all about Special Olympics and yourself.
So Special Olympics is a global organisation solely run by volunteers. Helps athletes with an intellectual disability achieve their dreams through sport.
And so how's it been for you so far? Have you achieved your dreams?
Yeah, I have, yeah. I've been to three national games. Two national games. This will be my third national games in Launceston in October. So.
Now, Peter, I've got to correct you there. Be very careful if you go to Tasmania and you say Launceston, they'll know you're from the mainland. It's Launceston. Launceston. I'm just giving you a heads up there because I've actually worked on radio down there one time and I said Launceston and, well, yeah, suffice to say the phones lit up.
So you're going for soccer or football. What do you call it?
I call it soccer. But
soccer.
In Australia, it's called soccer. Overseas, it's called football.
Football, so. Yeah. When did you first start playing soccer / football?
I started playing soccer when I was 5 years old for a team called South Melbourne Hallis in the junior ranks in South Melbourne. Dad took me down there.
And what do you like about playing soccer / football?
What do I like about playing soccer? All the friends and the networking and just the different people, you know, meeting new people.
Peter, do you mind if I ask you what your condition is?
My condition?
Yeah.
So I have an intellectual disability, yep, and a bit of depression and anxiety.
As a boy, was that an issue for you growing up, dealing with other kids, or were they kind to you? Were they not so kind to you?
As a boy growing up, yeah, it was a bit of an issue because I felt that I was a bit of an outsider, yeah. So
yeah?
Judged growing up in the primary school and high school, going to mainstream schools. Until year nine, of course, before my parents decided that the best option was to go to a special school.
And how did that change your life?
That changed my life in ways of like meeting friends that were of similar ability and, you know, socially the same as me, you know, and going through the same sort of challenges and struggles. And, you know, that helped me become a leader. I was a school captain in my final year at Ashwood, house captain, SRC, the sports captain. You know, it was a lot of kids did look up to me at that school, yeah.
What did you like about being a leader?
Yeah, I loved being a leader because it was just, you know, it was good that people, you know, would look up to me and I was, you know, a role model to others, you know. I liked being a role model and mentoring other kids around the school.
So how did you first find out about Special Olympics?
I first found out about Special Olympics through my friend Vinny, who was part of the Dufton Special Soccer School in 2007. Yeah, Carlos told me, the coach at the time, to get involved in the state team, so at the Nationals in 2010 in Adelaide. So.
Yeah. Sure it's not your cousin, Vinny?
I wish.
That'd sort of make a better story, isn't it? Who told you about all my cousins?
So when you found out about it to then going and playing in 2010, what did you have to try out? Was there a team training? Like, what is the process before you go away?
You have to try out.
So yeah.
tryouts. There were three or four tryouts that we had to go to. That stage back then, we had the tryouts at Dufton, and a lot of the Dufton players and different teams from other All Abilities groups and Wangaratta at the time came and tried out.
And you were successful.
And I was successful, yeah.
And so in 2010, where was that?
That was in Adelaide.
And how was it? What was it like going away to play?
Oh, well, it was great. You know, I just remember walking into the stadium full of thousands of people in the opening ceremony at the Adelaide 36ers basketball courts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a great experience. Fireworks, singers, they're saying the national anthem. It was great, quite an honour, yeah.
Did you ever, when you were at the Special Olympics or you're at somewhere really great, and you think to yourself, wow, I'm going to remember this moment. I'm going to remember being here, because we all talk about mindfulness, but not all of us live mindfulness. Did you do that?
Yeah, I did, yeah. It's something that I've always, shared to the kids at the club. It's my stories, and how I see them being part of the Special Olympics and part of the next state team, and what they come to look forward to in the next coming few years, because it's such a great organisation to be part of. So yeah.
So you got any stories you want to share with us? What's like a motivational thing you might say to the young guys and girls?
Young guys and girls, I said, just give it your best and achieve your best and give you 110% effort. Yeah.
Yeah, you notice I'm not asking the questions that Amy gave me, because
yes.
I don't want you reading the answers out, okay? And I'm getting better responses, aren't I?
Yeah.
Amy, go ahead.
No, I wouldn't want to interrupt you in one of your monologues.
Okay. I've got a question I'd love to ask as well. What's a good day for you, mate? What's the first thing you think of in the morning when you get up? What's the first thing that pops into your head? Is it going to be a good day?
I think about, positive mindfulness. I do a lot of meditation sort of stuff at home.
Meditation.
Okay.
How do you do that? I've been told to do that all my life and I've never been able to do it. I think I fall asleep when I do it.
It's called Smiling Minds. It's quite a good app. I tend to do a session a day. It keeps me very positive, positive frame of mind.
Smiling Minds, I looked that up. Yeah. That's great. And basically, what's a day for you look like?
A day for me is I get up, I'll do a morning walk, and then I'll go to work as a disability support worker.
Well, there's a beautiful segue.
I know.
Not a real sidekick, go for it.
Well, I obviously want to get to the upcoming Special Olympics that you're off to compete in, but before we get there, how did you get into disability support work? What led you there?
Oh, well, I was doing some volunteer work back at the school that I used to go to, Ashwood.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the teachers said that you'd be good as a disability support worker. And my stepdad's brother at the time was working for Menzies. And I did some practical placement at Menzies. And I enjoyed my experience. And I thought, why not? I gave the JTI a call, which was a disability private RTO in Dandenong, a call. I did the course for 6 months and I decided to become a disability support worker. So I started my career with Mekwa Care in Malvern. So, yeah.
Beautiful. And what do you like most about that job?
I just find it very rewarding, giving back to the disability sector, the kids, and seeing people achieve their goals, them growing independence.
Like Zabantis, that's a Greek name?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
The reason I ask that is I know the Greek community are a very, very tight-knit community, especially in Melbourne. Have they been able to get around you as a community and support you in your endeavours to become a Special Olympian?
Yeah, they have, yeah. Look, I remember back in 2011, myself and Kevin O'Byrne, who was in charge of Special Olympics at the time, went on the Greek radio station, 3XY, in Preston, and we did a bit of a chat, so that was great, and that was part of the Neos Cosmos, which is a Greek newspaper, and I've still got the picture and the article at home.
I used to support somebody whose name shall remain anonymous, and he was Greek, and his mum was, she was 93, and every time I went around there to pick him up, to support him, always had cookies and biscuits and all Greek food. Unbelievable. I was treated like an absolute king, to the point their TV, they needed a new TV. You know what they did? They said, can you come with us and pick a TV? And because I wanted a big 75-inch for myself, but I didn't have the money for it, I said, this is going to cost you a bit of money. And anyway, we got them a big 65-inch TV, and they're happy as pigs in mud. We're going to have it take a quick break, if that's okay, and we'll come back. And we might talk a little bit about the NDIS and how your endeavours on trying to get onto the NDIS, and maybe also a little bit of advice you might give to people who have been in your position or are in your position looking to do things with Special Olympics, or basically even getting involved as a support worker or a disability support worker yourself. We'll do that after break. Is that okay with you?
Sounds wonderful.
So have you
to
got
me.
Your producer hat on right now, or you just...
I've got so many hats on, so I can't balance them.
I've noticed she's very relaxed. Normally she's barking orders at me, you know. Back after this break, this is Coach and the Doctor. Thanks to Dual to Care Support Coordinators, where, of course, it takes a village. Back after this break.
Are you or someone you know in need of a compassionate support coordinator? JildaCare is your team of trusted, caring and professional support coordinators. We'll make the NDIS process easy for you and your loved ones to navigate. We'll coordinate all your care and support, specialist support and, if required, psychosocial recovery coaching. GILDA, JildaCare Support Coordination. We make the NDIS process stress-free. Visit us at jildacare.com.au.
J-Man inspires and supports NDIS participants to live their best lives and promotes experiences for people with a disability. The NDIS can be confusing, so if you're thinking about applying for funding or not sure how your plan actually works, J-Man can help and guide you through every step of the process at no cost to you. jaeman.com.au. That's jaeman.com.au. Now is the time to get the most out of your NDIS. Call us for a free consultation. 1-800-JMAN.
When your message is timely, trustworthy and delivered in a positive environment, it's powerful. That's why sponsors of 89.9 The Light see great results. Visit thelight.com.au.
You're listening to Coach and the Doctor. Thanks to J-Man Active. If the body is active, the mind will follow. Somebody who's definitely active is Peter Zapantis, who's a Special Olympics athlete. The sidekick is with me, Amy. Peter, we mentioned earlier that we're going to talk more about your time with the Australian team and what's coming up and what you've done. First of all, what's the best experience, would you say, or what's something that you remember that sticks out for you as being a Special Olympian?
Oh, well, I think the winning the silver medal at the 2010 National Games was pretty much a highlight, and the friendships that I made with all the Queensland and the Sydney boys in the Australian team was another highlight, and coming third at the 2011 Athens World Games and seeing Stevie Wonder sing at the Nationals in Athens, so it was a great experience, yeah.
What did you think of Athens?
Athens, I've never been... Look, I'd been to Greece, but I did the islands in 2008, and I thought Athens was a great city. It was a lovely city, beautiful city, a lot of history.
Hello, so 2011, Greece. That was the Worlds. How did that come about? How did you get to go to Athens?
Well, you got to get selected through the Nationals, so you got to stand out in the Nationals and get selected, and only a selected few go. And we had the training camp in Sydney, so we played a few scratch matches before we went over to the World Games.
And now there is an upcoming event. You've got the Nationals this year, which I believe you've already qualified for. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Okay, so when's the event? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty calm, as like most other athletes, you know. Quite new to the experience that are going through the soccer, and yeah. I'm just trying to mentor them and coach them along that everything will be fine, and it's gonna be fine. What to expect over there and stuff. So
back in your natural position as a role model and a leader for the team.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to play at some stage, you're going to move on past playing. You obviously want to stay involved with the Special Olympics and become a coach or an administrator.
Yeah, no, I'd love to become a coach. At the moment, I've actually accomplished that within running my own all abilities soccer program at Frankston. So that started in 2020. So
this bloke's a bit of an underachiever, isn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, not doing much at all.
So we've got one of the largest all ability soccer programs in Victoria at the moment. Got over 100 participants.
How do you keep control of all that? That's an amazing organisation.
So we've got I got a lady named Carmi. She's on the, sits on my committee, and an assistant, lovely assistant coach, a close friend of mine that we've grown up together, Paul, and he does a fabulous job for the team as well. So
I don't know. I never know when to ask this question, whether I should ask it at the end of the interview or at the beginning or whatever. But you know, whilst I remember, I'm going to ask it. What do you say to people who might be in a similar position to you, either when you were younger, thinking about doing something with your life, and because of your condition, you're not sure, and as you said earlier, things were a little bit tough? What do you say to make it a little bit easier for some of those people that are living, I should say, with an intellectual disability?
So, guys, I'll say they reach for the stars, and, you know, if you want to get out and play Special Olympics, there's a website, there's also a telephone number, so you can find out through Special Olympics, through word of mouth, over the internet. So you go for it.
What about your support when you were younger? Who helped you?
Helped me? My mum helped me, yeah, so she was a great role model.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I had a brother and sister, yeah, so mum helped me a lot. Dad wasn't around, but mum helped me heaps, yeah.
Yeah, and plus all the Greek community, I imagine, were great for you as well.
They were, yeah.
So something in terms of support, if having family support is huge, but it's not often or not always accessible to people, and there's now the NDIS available, is that something that you have looked into yourself?
Yes, I have, yeah. NDIS, it's a great thing that's come about the last 7 or 8 years, yeah. And it's, you know, it's a good setup, and I would say for people who are looking to get on the NDIS, go for it, because I think it would change a lot of lives, yeah.
Because one of our sponsors, J-Man, offers free advocacy, and that's one of the things I got to be honest is that I get the most satisfaction out of, is actually seeing the process when you meet somebody who don't really think that they deserve to be on the NDIS, and this is what we get a lot, where people actually think, well, why would I be on the NDIS? I'm okay. And then you explain it to them, and then you start the process, and you go through step by step by step, because it can be confusing. And let me rephrase that. It is confusing. Not can be. It is confusing. But the NDIS is a wonderful organisation. You've just got to take the right steps to get to where you need to be. And that's something that we do here. So hopefully if we can help you maybe later on. If not, I'm sure you've got other people that can help you with that.
But I imagine for something like the Special Olympics, there are lots of costs that are incurred to train and to travel and things like that. So
who
something
pays
like
for that?
Exactly. Like, and that could be such a barrier to stop people being active, not only physically, but socially and in the community. And so if that allows people to have the opportunity to participate in something that's given your life so much joy and experience, that would be great.
So at Frankston, we have a lot of we do a lot of sausage sizzles and fundraising throughout Bunnings. On the weekend, we raised a bit for the guys. So it was quite a thing. I was standing out there from 8 to 4 at the Frankston Bunnings raising some money. So this is the second one we've done for the year. So the athletes, this will benefit the athletes. They'll get a bit of money from that. And we also do trivia nights at the club. We do other things like we get the community, Fijian community, and we have like a sort of a dinner dance sort of thing, yeah.
Do you ever have time where you just sit and relax, Peter? You're a busy, busy bee.
I think the Saturdays and Sundays are very busy with all abilities of giving back to the, you know, the disability sector, you know. It's something that I guess, you know, when it comes through from the heart, you know, you gotta do it, you know, because it's something that you love to do. So
okay, now here's a question that you did get beforehand, which if I'd have known, Pete, I wouldn't have sent you questions beforehand, but that's okay, Amy. Never send them questions because you get better responses. But I don't want you to look at your notes. Yes. Okay, we'll give it a crack. This is a really interesting question. What are some of the common misconceptions about living with intellectual disability that you wish people better understood?
Living with a disability, just being accepted and valued and just judged, you know, not to be, you know, criticised or judged for your disability or your you being just being different to others, you know. I guess people are coming around in, you know, it is 2022, people are coming around slowly to accept people with disabilities. But when I was a kid growing up, I remember it was pretty harsh. Some of the bullying that was happening in the schools was pretty bad. Yeah.
Now, obviously, that must have been tough to go through. It's a silly question. I'm going to ask it. Has that made you stronger, you think?
Yeah, I think it's shaped me for the person I am today. Yeah.
Great answer. Yeah. Great answer. Great answer.
Perfect
great question.
Answer.
Great
yeah.
question, Amy. Anything more for Pete?
I just feel very honoured to be in the company of not only an accomplished athlete, but someone that is so caring and compassionate for the community and just, you know, you hear every single day he's giving back to the people around him, and it's inspiring. So we're very lucky to have had you in here.
I've got one for you that I normally save for the J-Pod, which is an interview show that I do just as the coach. Up on the wall there, mate, it's a blank wall. You can see there. There's a blank wall right in front of you, right? Here, look. Yeah. On the left-hand side, just imagine there's a window there and there's a window there. Now, you don't have to get too deep. If you want to answer this, you can. If you don't, you don't. On the left-hand side, there is the window into your past, and on the right-hand side's a window into your future. What do you see in the past, in a few words, in that window? Anything?
In the past, you know, just the barriers that I had to go through, and now in the future, it's just like what I want to accomplish and what I want to achieve. So I think in the next few years, I want to help out with Special Olympics by helping Dave and Sarah down at the club, sort of hoping one day to become a state coach. So hopefully getting that mentoring from Dave to be a state coach in the future. Maybe having my own NDIS business one day. I'd like that. So, yeah.
Well, the sun's shining pretty brightly through that window in the future, mate, with all
yeah,
those things.
Yeah, pretty good.
Great answer. I can tell you, I don't always get answers like that. It's always interesting. I often wonder what I would say if someone said that to me.
And I'd, well, we simply don't have the time.
Exactly. No, the way I speak, we'd be still here next week. Peter, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed having a chat. You were fantastic. Interview, and I'm sure everybody who's listening will agree, and I'm sure your Special Olympics career is going to continue for a little while to come. And by that, in saying that, how long do you think you've got in the Special Olympics before you focus on your coaching?
I don't know. Like, I just take it minute by minute. I think I would like to say that I would want to go on for one more after this, but we'll see where the future holds. I do have a partner. I do have a young son, so
that was the question I was
the barrier,
trying to remember. How's the family life? How's that going?
Yeah, no, it's the last 4 years has been pretty interesting. So, you know, he's growing up pretty fast. So I think you'll need Dad around, you know, in the next few years. So,
well, that's where you need to be. You know where yep. your place is, mate.
Best of luck in Launceston. We hope it goes well for the team there. And fingers crossed that maybe there's a trip to Berlin for the next World Championships.
Cheers.
On the
Thank
card.
You, Amy.
If I'm, I'll chuck myself in your luggage if you're going to Berlin, if you get picked, mate, because great city. You'll have a fantastic time in Berlin. Peter Sapantis, thanks so much for your time, mate, and good luck with everything in the future.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
You're listening to Coach and the Doctor. Thanks to J-Man Active. If the body is active, the mind will follow. Every week we say it, Amy, but pretty special people, both of those. And I'm not, and if you pardon the pun, of course, Special Olympics. But Peter and Anna, fantastic conversations, and really, really looking forward to hopefully having those games here in Australia in a few years' time.
Yeah, incredible guests, and we thank them again for making the effort to come into the office. We haven't had an in-person record in a long time, so it was an absolute treat to have them here in the flesh.
Now, next episode, it's Nicole Matheson, who's the team leader and clinical neuropsychologist at Autism Spectrum Australia.
So there are quite a few different, I guess, reasons for why we say that there is an increase in terms of people diagnosed with autism or who associate or even self, you know, identify as being autistic. We know that even in terms of the research, it has shown that there are more diagnoses. I think a lot of it comes from our increased understanding.
That's Nicole Matheson there. Then Seamus Evans, the ambassador for Tourette Syndrome Association Australia, and he's a keynote speaker.
I was born with it, or I got it from a very, very young age, like infancy, right? Really young, yep. Baby. Diagnosed at 10. However, I know a guy who he got diagnosed and he only got it a year ago, and he was 22. He was driving up from Melbourne. He moved to Queensland, said goodbye to his parents and his family home. And on the two-day drive, he developed these tics.
Okay, Amy, fantastic. Looking forward to both those conversations next episode. I'm not sure if you're involved in those.
No, you'll be rid of me. So if the audience didn't like what they got today, then come back next week because it'll be totally different.
And we've got the doctor, coach and the doctor, not a real coach, not a real doctor, and not a real sidekick, but close enough. Okay, Amy, time to sign off. Go for it.
One more week.
Well, if you want to understand why she says that, listen a couple of episodes back and you'll find out. But for me, it's very, very simple. Have yourself a great week. Coach you.
You've been listening to Coach and the Doctor. Thanks to Gildacare Support Coordinators.
Gildacare is a team of trusted, caring and professional support coordinators. Founded on the principle that it takes a village, we want to lock arms and build a long-standing relationship, one in which we are able to deliver quality support coordination. We offer additional services such as specialist support coordination and psychosocial recovery coaching. GILDA, Gildacare Support Coordination. We make the NDIS process stress-free. Google Gildacare.